Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound?
They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. make me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can fill you up, words can break you down, start a fire in your heart or put it out. Over the fear, God, your voice is the only thing we need to hear. Words can build us up, words can break us down, start a fire in our hearts or put it out.
Buddy, I hope you're all having a wonderful day out there. Hope it ain't raining too much on you and all that kind of stuff, and smiles and all that good love is all permeating the atmosphere such. Anyway, today I want to just start off by talking about words having power. Words have power. Speak love. You know, it sounds like some old hippie stuff, don't it? You know, here at Shaziz Radio, we don't... we don't censor content per se, as far as you know, we want people to be able to talk about anything. We want people to be able to have their own views and opinions and stuff like that. But out of respect for everyone else, we kind of self-censor the way that we talk, because words really seriously have power. I've been doing radio for quite some time, and I watched a trend about different networks. Watch some really good networks go by the wayside because of the way that people would talk with each other, and the way that they would not respect one another's you know, beliefs or whatever. You know, you're not going to always agree with things that I have to say, but you can get a powerful message across in, you know, a really honest and respectful and intellectually honest way just by the power of those words that come up out of your mouth. You know, it's a shame to see friendships tore apart, just as it's a shame to see the world tore apart. A lot of wars have been started over words. I posted some videos down there in the chat room, one of which is an experiment where they had a group of boys write down some nice things on a piece of paper, and then they had these girls in the other room that were setting up some games and stuff, and they didn't know what was going on. And so they called all these girls in, and they had the girls hold up this big old white poster board, you know, in front of them. And these boys came up and they stuck all these pictures on there. I think it said that like 36 girls was involved in this deal. And so they posted all these words of kind sayings on there about, you know, each of these girls. Well, out of that 36 girls, they ended up getting 36 smiles. It was such an amazing response. I mean, that is pretty much 100% perfection right there, because those words, you know, were uplifting and they're kind. And so you just took, the power of words and made 36 girls smile. That's pretty amazing. You know, my friend Barry, who's on here all the time, he says he likes to go out in public and he just likes to smile at people. Just smile at them. And just to see their response, they smile back, you know, and it's catchy. It is. It really is. You know, the actions that you got, you know, if you're acting peaceful, you'd be surprised at what the things around you would respond back in kind by being peaceful. But the words is something more powerful. The words that come out of your mouth can quite literally uplift somebody's spirit. And Scotty Sovereign just popped into TC chat room. He said, "Morning, brothers." That's pretty cool. You know, he knows we're like family. That's awesome. You know, that's a powerful words right there. Brothers, sisters, friends, family. You know, the three words, "I love you," you know, that's probably one of the best, most powerful phrase in our arsenal. You see all these things going on out here, political disagreements, and, you know, even to the extent of religious disagreements. You see different cultures clashing with one another because of, different ways of life that they're accustomed to, and, you know, you see all this disagreement, and you're listening to, you know, different points of view on mainstream media, and you're always being bombarded with negativity. So while all this negativity is running amok, it's really hard to try to figure out a way to try to respond without, going to war. I get angry. Man, I tell you what, I really get angry. I'm just a human just like all the rest of you. I get so doggone frustrated. Because sometimes you feel like nobody respects you. You know, you feel like nobody cares. You know, here on the Knights of the Round Table, it's an amazing concept that we got going on. It's amazing how we can bring different cultures and different backgrounds and beliefs and even political views together, and we can sit there and discuss solutions and things like that without getting angry. You know, when you throw a word out there at somebody because, I call them angry words. When you use your angry words at people and you throw words out there and you call, you know, some lady a bee or whatever, you know, female dog, and, you know, you just, you didn't just degrade that woman, you degraded yourself in the same process, you know, because, you know, there's folks out there that just understand what that word actually means, you know. And, okay, I guess I'm kind of one of the folks that was raised by a mother that put a lot of love in my heart and put a lot of respect for ladies in my heart. You know, we used to open doors for ladies. That was cool, you know. Made you feel good inside, and you knew it was a respectful thing to do. In some places these days, people don't like it when you open doors for them because they think that you're trying to belittle them. You know, you're trying to, what's that one word, mansplain or something like that. Hey, I'm powerful. I'm opening the door for you because you're a woman and you're weak. That's not what it was all about. It was because we were respectful. We knew that how amazing of a blessing it was for women to be in our lives. And so with that said, that's the way my mother raised me, to be respectful to ladies, to be respectful to the elders, to be respectful to one another. And the way that you talk to children, it's really going to make a serious difference in the way that they're going to talk to their children. You're going to uplift them to the highest reaches of heaven, or you're going to lower them down to the greatest, darkest abyss. Those words, they don't just go away. And, you know, there's an old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, that's not so true whenever you're under the other side of those words. When somebody's aiming them at you and telling you how, you know, rotten you are, how you're a liar, you're no good, or you're worthless, and all that kind of stuff. I know that for the most part, I'm preaching to the choir out here, because just about everybody on the networks that we deal with are really good-hearted people who want nothing but the best for the world, and so we try to be, you know, we self-censor here on Shaziz Radio. Not because we don't want you to have your freedom of speech, but because I've seen in the past what happens when networks fall apart. And it's usually, you know, a brother against a brother, or a sister against a sister, or vice versa, whatever. You know, but it's sad because the goal that we had set to try to make the world a better place kind of gets swept under the rug. The ultimate deal, you know, we had to set our prides down. We had to set our ego aside. We had to be respectful to others' differences. And it worked out really well here at Shaziz Radio. Look how long we've been around, you know. And I've watched other networks, wonderful people that basically tore themselves apart. And that really concerns me, because I don't want to ever see that happen here. You know, I love all these people. They're wonderful people. They're brilliant people. They're amazing people. They do things, and, you know, the research capability that we have together as a team, as a family, it's unstoppable. Shaziz Radio's been around for quite some time. Maybe I'm not the most popular dude on the planet. That's all right. I can live with that. But if I was the, you know, foul-mouthed heathen that just goes out there, I'd be lying to myself. I'd be lying to my beliefs. I wouldn't be true to the truth as far as that goes. So, I want, if your grandchildren sitting next to you, I want them to be able to hear this show. If your grandma's sitting there, your mama's sitting there, your daddy or your grandpa or whatever, I want them to want to hear this show. Because the whole point is to get the message out to as many of the people, to give them the hope and belief that we can actually resolve the issues of this world in a peaceful and a loving manner. We can fix things. We have the technology. We've got a blessing of epic proportions right underneath our feet. What we've been given, you know, the power of nature, the overabundance of resources, and all the blessings that we take for granted on a regular basis, all of that is so amazing. But yet sometimes we get so twisted up into what's going on in the world that we use our words in a negative manner. And we drop our fellow brothers and sisters down into a feeling of despair and hopelessness and anger and frustration. You know, when you look out there and you disagree with somebody, it's all right to disagree. It's all right to have differences of opinion. But we got to understand that we're never actually going to be able to change anybody's view by throwing negativity or hate or, you know, discouragement at them. You can call somebody every name in the book. You're going to make them angry. That's a fact, you know. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction is what they say. It comes around, goes around, karma, so on down the line. And you want to change the hearts of the many, then you have to use the power of the words. That's how you do that. It's a simple concept that sometimes we need a really nice kind of friendly little reminder of how powerful we really are. And using that love and using our words, we can get things done. We can inspire instead of destroy. That's the hope that I'd like to put in a beginning message for the Knights of the Round Table. The Knights of the Round Table always takes on a life of its own, and that's fine. That's why we bring so many people to the table to, you know, discuss things out there. We have to talk about some of the bad things, but in the process of talking about some of the bad things, we don't have to become the same darkness that we're hoping to, you know, fight against. We don't have to become the same beast that we're hoping to get away from. We don't have to, you know, drag ourselves down to the level of the darkness that is basically keeping us all in bondage and in despair. I want for you a happy life. I want for you good feelings in your heart and everything that comes along with that. I want for you what the true meaning of family is, what the true meaning of brother and the true meaning of sister and the true meaning of love. So that's where we're going to start today's show, and I hope you stick with us. Even if we're preaching to the choir, it's all in the name of love here on the Knights of the Round Table. Hi, Barbara. How you doing, lady?
Hey, guys. Doing good. Over here on a beautiful sunny day in Turtle Island on this mountain where I'm living. It's so beautiful here. And, yeah, we had a good ceremony yesterday, a lot of good prayers for the people. And it's interesting you're talking about the power of words, because of course, you know, being in prayer, certainly using those words of prayer, and I'm not talking about you know, the rote, like that, you know, as a young girl I was a Catholic because that's how my family was. And it's interesting about the words, and I'm talking about the prayer, because I was told how to pray, you know, I was told the words to use, but I never felt a connection to them. I didn't really understand what these words meant. So when I say, yesterday we were in ceremony, which is a traditional Lakota ceremony, which in the indigenous tradition, nobody tells you how to pray. There's not something written down that says you have to pray this way and use these words. And I had to learn how to pray. I had to learn how to use words again. Words of communication, okay? Words spoken from my heart. Because, you know, understanding, as we've been talking about, is the power of our words can either create or destroy. Can either bring, you know, good vibrations or frequencies or good feelings, or do harm. And we've been talking about the power of words. I mean, we can create with words, you know, or we can destruct something or destroy something. You know, words to little children, for instance, you know, spoken words that are nasty or attacking or harmful, or, you know, like you're stupid or who do you think you are, to a little person, you know, can really crush their spirits. And to an adult, of course, then it brings up emotions. It brings up, you know, if you're talking negatively towards a person or attacking them verbally or using harmful words, then they go into an emotional state and they're going to defend themselves or respond back or sling some more stuff at you. Words, you know. So I think the difference is what we're talking about here is learning how, I guess, learning about the power of our words. And if we really care about how we're impacting things, how we are either co-creating harmony and goodness, or we're going to co-create harm and destruction and hurt people. And not only people, but everything, because, you know, I say we're connected incrementally and powerfully and hugely, if you want to use that word, that hugely word, to everything, because we are all beings of energies and frequencies, and words are energy, and words hold a frequency, either a high frequency, harmony frequency, or a destructive frequency. So it's not such a simple thing to think, well, if I say something negative toward a friend or a neighbor, right, then, well, I could hurt them. But it's not just about that person. It's not just about the two of us. This is a reverberation. All right, this goes out through the web, as I call it, energetically, you know. It touches everything and everyone. And that's why we say we are co-creators, and what we believe, what we focus on, our words, our acts, and our emotions have an impact, a vibrational impact, a frequency throughout the whole. That's how extraordinary our realization is. What we've come to realize is how we are connected to everything, and our presence, our words, our very being is affecting the whole. So words have a tremendous impact. Whatever words we utter should be chosen with care, basically, for people hear them, and they'll be influenced by them, either for good or evil. The basic tool of manipulation of truth, for instance, is the manipulation of words. If you can control the meaning of words, you can control the people who use these words. So it's the basic tool that we have for the preservation of the truth and the goodness and the kindness. You know, I mean, people can say, I love you, oh, I love you, I love you, and turn around and say something negative about you or that person. You know, so to me, the word love has a definite, powerful frequency. But you have to really mean it. You know, you have to hold that frequency in your heart for others, for those persons. And that's, you know, that's what we're looking at today, about what's being flung around in society and what we see, what we're reading in the media, and what people in the high up positions are what they're speaking about, the words they're using, and then that reverberation, how other people take up those words and will also say the same thing or use the same words that a high up elite person or someone else, or it doesn't matter. This is how this, I guess you want to say, the pebble is thrown in the pond. If the intention of the pebble is for harmony and peace and love and kindness, that will ripple out throughout that pond and go into infinity. If the pebble that is thrown into that pond has an intention behind it that is not nice, that is harmful, that is hateful, that is evil, that is dark, that will ripple out throughout that pond and into infinity. And frankly, we're all in the way. Every human being on this earth is in the way of these ripples, right? In the way of whatever people are slinging into the pond or out into the ethers, whatever you wanna call it.
Yeah.
You know? So this is what we're looking at. Words are powerful, and we are caught up often, and maybe more frequently now, in the emotions of what's going on. And people are quick to attack, I say, or quick to throw out words, or because they're in an emotional state. And this is what we're dealing with. You know, it's not easy. When you are in a high emotional state, whether it's from anger, from fear, or whatever, wherever it comes from, the words will follow according to what that state is, what that emotional state is. The words will reverberate out of you. That's how it happens. So it's we're in that place right now, I think, where we are being subjected to these frequencies of words,
yeah,
and acts of people, or, you know, ourselves being attacked. And so it's very important, you know, do not speak the words that we have been conditioned to speak, you know, and we have been conditioned. We're forgetting the important words, I think, and the importance of how we are connected. You know, we basically find the energies and the frequencies going around of people repeating the same things that we see maybe in the media.
Yeah.
I've seen it, and I'm like astonished. It's like almost like people aren't thinking for themselves. They're not coming into their heart. They're not saying, whoa, wait a minute, let me just sit with this for a minute. You know, and that's, of course, when you're emotional, you don't take the moment.
Did you know in 1839 an English author, Edward Bulwer Lytton, coined the phrase, the pen is mightier than the sword? The Chauvets, I can't even say him, suggests it's better understood as the tongue is at least as hurtful as the sword. And there's even a biblical reference to where it talks about, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit. You know, it's like really not a new concept. People have realized how powerful their words are going way back. You know, wars have been started over words. You can start a war just with the words that come out of your mouth. Start a fight. And I would think that if a person had common sense, they would want to, you know, if they're kind of peaceful hearted, they would want to not use the, you know, power of their words. Because I tell you, I've watched on many occasions how somebody can literally take the wind out of somebody's sails just by saying some really terrible things.
Yeah. Well, here's a quote for you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right?
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, I just... while we're out here trying to fix the world, we got to try to be understanding that, you know, you're not going to sway people if you're out there cursing them. You know, look at the word curse. You know, it says it'll blow your doors off if you understand what that word actually means. But, you know, you're out there cursing at them, cussing at them, and trying to get them to see your point of view. It's not going to happen. It's, you know, it's counterproductive. You can't make somebody mad and then, you know, expect them to love you afterwards. They're not going to come around to your way of thinking. It's hard to...
Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, look, we all have, let's say in relationships, which we are all in, whether it's a close relationship or just the mere fact that we're relations on this earth, we're related... You know, on some level, we all drink the water, we all want peace, we all are, you know, have various other things. So we're all related on that level. So, and the closeness to the people that you are closest to, you know, or even some that are just acquaintances, you hit bumps in the road, you know, and the reconciliation, how do we resolve things? How do we come to a better place? It takes dialogue. It takes a heartfelt dialogue. It takes a willingness to step aside, to put your anger aside, to put the resentment aside, to put whatever it is aside, to come into the heart, to speak from your heart, to really want reconciliation. Okay, this is so key. It's not an easy thing because our emotions... and our righteousness, or whatever you want to call it, gets in the way. Well, you said this about me, you know, well, yeah, but you said that about me. You could go round and round and round and spin all day long. So it takes a big leap for us to really come into, to settle down, I guess, come back into your heart spirit, to settle down, to get out of the mind, to get out of the ego. Because this is what's going on, to get out of that hurt, you know, to let that go and to come for the purpose of reconciliation. But you have to want to do that. You have to really care enough to want to let all the bad things that was said about you or all the bad things that you participated in and that anger and that frustrations or whatever. You have to be willing. And that's a big leap. You can't have reconciliation when you're remaining half in and half out. Well, yeah, but you did this and you said that, or I still have to get my point across. During the moment of reconciliation, and I've been in these situations where, you know, you come to the table with people, you're willing to do that, they appear to be willing to do that, but they have some issues that they're still hanging on to, and they take the moment of reconciliation basically to rank you out, to talk down to you, to get their last point across.
Yeah.
You know, and this takes a lot of, I guess, I don't know what to call it, but so then that person that you're getting your last point across who's come to the table with you, well, now they're going to take the opportunity to get their last point across. Because so there goes the moment in the circle where we all came together to talk from our hearts and our spirits because we care, because we really love, because we really want harmony and balance, you know. So this is, we're all put in this position, you know, this is not an easy time for us, none of us, but I think a part of this, I think, is a ramping up of the negative energy, the ramping up of this something that wants us pitted against each other, that wants us to be angry, that wants us, you know, to not come into harmony and balance, you know. And we all have issues from childhood where we were severely hurt, you know, really. We were attacked. Our spirits were crushed, you know. Who we really truly were, you know, was harmed. And so when you have this in your life and you meet others who have the same, similar, it takes a lot of healing for us to come to a better place. And we're working on it. And for me, I'm determined to continue and to work on it. You know, we've all been part of it, you know. So it's a big challenge where we are today. And, you know, I can't help but reflect again on what the elders have said recently, within, I guess, the last 10 years, said, no matter what, especially now, do not take anything personally, you know. And that's a big challenge.
Yeah,
of course,
that's a hard task there.
Well, when somebody's, you know, when somebody's attacking you personally, yeah, that's a challenge right there. Now, I'm going to say that it's a spiritual challenge because, yeah, we all have feelings and we do get hurt, of course. And words are powerful, as you're saying, and they can hurt. They can crush you. They can take you down.
Yeah,
you know?
The podcast that we bypassed, because we all pretty much, you pretty much said a lot of what that podcast was all about, but it also spoke about how when somebody does you wrong, talks to you poorly, that you can turn that around with the words in a loving manner, and it'll blow their doors off, because they might have been expecting to get the opposite reaction. They might have been wanting to make you mad. You know, like,
yeah.
That's what we keep saying,
well,
about the way
that's, they want to see a reaction, right? They want you to react. Well, it's almost like when a person says, I'm coming from a loving place. Okay, I'm here because I'm coming from a loving place. And then they proceed to attack you or rank you out or saying negative things about you. So, in fact, they believe they're coming from a loving place, right? I think people honestly believe they're coming from a loving place. And so, yes, then they may very well be a loving, kind person. But in these instances, there are emotions, okay, that are feeding off of this. And, in fact, instead of coming from a loving place, they start saying negative things because, you know, well, they still feel that you did this, you said that, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. So there's not coming from the heart there then. And I believe that's, you know, part of that person definitely has a good intention, but it all goes awry because they still have this emotion.
I had a pastor, a person that calls himself a pastor, tell me that my words were nothing more than filthy rags to my God.
And I remember that. I remember you saying that. I mean, that's a slammer. How old were you?
Oh, I was probably about, I don't know, 20, 30 years old.
Yeah.
And
okay.
To hear those words, I mean, it made me feel so small. It made me feel worthless.
Exactly.
And if he's there to try to teach me that I have a loving God that doesn't even care about my words, that my words are worthless to, then what is the point? How could I develop a relationship, a good relationship with a loving Creator? That he just basically told me my words were, you know, like filthy rags, they're worthless. And that shied me away from that church. I never went back. To this very day, I never went back because of the words that came out of his mouth. You know?
Yeah. Well, here's another quote for you. I have slain them by the words of my mouth.
See?
Yeah. That's how powerful words are. We
yes.
could slay someone. We could crush someone. We could, you know, people have committed suicide by somebody saying, I don't love you anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care about you. I don't love you anymore. I mean, that's pretty extreme, but that goes to show you how tender we all are. We are all very tender.
Just about people. Every single man or woman out there who's ever been in a prior relationship and you've really seriously been in love with somebody, and then to have that person tell you, but I don't love you, you know, that is really painful. You know, they probably, you know, if even if it wasn't, you know, I love you, but it's not the type of love that, you know, would be a relationship. That could be a lot less painful if you understand what I'm talking about. But most folks don't think about that. They just want to convince the other one that I don't want nothing to do with you. I want you away from me or whatever. I don't love you. I don't like you anymore or anything like that. And that's a pretty hard thing to get over, you know.
Well, I grew up, I don't know, but I guess you may have too, with all these songs about, you know, I can't live without your love,
yeah.
I mean, love me or leave me or let me be lonely,
yeah.
I mean, but all this emphasis on this emotional state, you see, it's almost like they're fueling and firing up the emotions of people. If you're not loved, you're nobody. I'm nobody without you. I mean, these are songs we grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, there's more songs. I don't know them right off the top of my head. Maybe people out there could kind of think back. And I don't listen to the music today, so I don't know what they're saying out there. But the words that are being used, and we've talked about this, haven't we? Words are spells.
Yeah, some of them make you cry. So some of the songs out there that you're talking about will literally make you cry, make you feel sad. You're in a breakup, and you're listening to a breakup song. You know,
words are... So songs are also have the power of control.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. So I'll give you an example, a personal example. You know, I had a long-term relationship with my petty tyrant, and, you know, the petty tyrant is the one who pushes your buttons, and, of course, you're there to push their buttons, too. And you hook up, kind of like, and you do the petty tyrant dance, you know, so you're living with somebody, or you're in a relationship with someone, and every once in a while, they go off track, and they become the Jekyll of the Hyde, and are a person that you don't even recognize. And, you know, you're basically feeling like, wow, you know, of course, this person doesn't really love me. You know, and they might even, you know, have this sneer on their face looking at you like you're a piece of crap. Okay. Or whatever happens, whatever that person does, the petty tyrant pushes your buttons and you become exactly what they are, you know, basically stating that you're, you know, you're insane or you're crazy or you're wacky or whatever. But you do the dance with the petty tyrant. So I lived for 8 years with this person who was the petty tyrant who pushed my buttons that would devastate me. So I would go into this state of you know, grief, and feel devastated and certainly unloved. But it was interesting because this petty tyrant was very similar to my dad, who would be very, very criticizing and very mean and cruel. So this was like the petty tyrant kind of reminds us of things or is supposed to be pointing out things that we have issues that we need to clean up. That's what the petty tyrant does. The presence of the petty tyrant, and we are petty tyrants and for people too. So the pushing of the button thing slams you into a state where you are reactive, where you are emotional, right?
Yeah.
And that's what happens because, of course, we all want to be loved. We all want to be seen as, you know, a special, something special and loved and, you know, basically accepted. And when you have a person who's attacking you and saying not, you know, unkind things about you, it's devastating for you. So you go through that process. The breakaway here, the breakaway point is to come into your own heart and to say that I know who I am. Okay, to know yourself, right? I know who I am, and what that person is speaking about me is untrue. Therefore, I'm just going to move on and move forward and not take it personally, like the elders say, no matter what, don't take anything personally. Now, the other side of this, and I have experienced this, it is important to sit back, to reflect upon what a person is saying. In other words, is there a reality here? Have I participated in this in the way that is not right? I mean, let's be clear. We have to take responsibility, right? And in order to grow and develop to become a better human being, we all must take responsibility. We can't just keep pointing fingers at another person and say, well, they did this and they're like that and so on and so forth. Everyone must take responsibility. So this is a huge teaching. But regardless of that, I think it's very important for us to understand the power of our words. And we are subjected to brainwashing through song, through words, and so on. And what happened to me with this person, this petty tyrant, was I was in the process of working into healing issues that went way back into my childhood that affected my whole life. And some of them unknown to me, you know. So when I moved through this healing, I was able to actually step away from this petty tyrant without anger, without resentment, but just with love, you know, just because I came to know myself. And I came to know that this person also is carrying issues, and their behavior reflected that. But I took it personally because it touched me deeply, okay? So I'm riding in the car. Now, this person and I spent 8 years together. This person was a musician, and there were certain songs, you know, that you have relationships, and you have these songs that you listen to on the radio, and they're your song, right? This is like, okay, this is our song. This song is ours, all right? The couple says that. This means this is our song. You take that to be yours, and it means so much to you because it's the times when you're in love. But when I removed myself from this situation that wasn't really harmonious and was not good, but it was purposeful for me because I needed to heal through certain things, I remember I came to a different state of being. But one day, I guess months went by, I'm listening to the radio, and this song came on that was our song, this person's and my song.
Wow.
And I felt an energy. Here's what was so extraordinary. I felt a shift, an actual energetic shift in my emotional state that started to drag me back into all the sad stuff and all the hurt and all the heartbreak about that person, and I actually had the power to stop it.
Yeah, I actually had an experience like that as well. You know, I was trying to find out how many love songs there's actually out there in the world, and I don't think I found out how many love songs there are actually, but there's a company called Grace Note, keeps a list of all the songs out there. It had 79 million songs on it as of 2011. That's a lot of music. So it's a lot of those songs are spells to either make you mad or make you happy or whatever. That's a lot of power. And those are all written by people, you know. It's amazing.
Patty wants to come in. Yay.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can get her in the door here. I'll try to. So, what do you think? 79 million songs. They said they don't obviously know every single song that ever, you know, existed, but
79 million?
Yeah.
That takes
you 150 years. They said 79 million minutes is about 150 years.
Right.
So you couldn't listen to every song in the world, even if you wanted. You didn't have
no. But there are certain periods. There are certain eras. The era, you know, of time of certain songs. You know, during the war. You know, I'll be home for Christmas. You know, in other words, that's the soldier over there getting, you know, shot at and killing people. Himself. I'll be home for Christmas. You know, and then you have the rock and roll and. And, you know, you have all these, then you have, I mean, it's just, like, amazing to me.
Well, you even had the ones that had, when you played them backwards, would have little secret messages in there, some of which weren't good messages, but there's a lot.
You know, I read about that, and, you know, I was kind of skeptical, but today I'm not skeptical at all.
No?
Today I believe that's real, because we know that words are spells, and we know that certain words that we use thinking that we know what this word means, but in fact it has a meaning, a hidden meaning behind it, and this is what we're dealing with.
Well, yeah, think about the commercials with the little jingles on there that you can't get out of your head, and so, you know, you usually end up going buying that product, you know, and so advertisers know the power of music. I mean, every advertiser out there got some music in the background if they want to really hype up their deal or whatever, or they want to touch you emotionally to make you feel bad about something. They'll have this sad music in the background and show you pictures of, you know, little puppies or something like that. And so, you know, that in itself is a pretty good size example of how powerful words really are. I mean, they realize this. Governments realize this. News media, you know, all the drama that they put out there on the mainstream media is to keep the ratings up there. People are always looking back in for whatever reason. Even if we got one hand over one eye and we're peeking through our fingers because we really don't want to see it, but we just can't stop to look, you know, you see what I'm trying to say here? It still draws us in with what's being said or what's being shown. And
yep.
It's like I believe it when you say words or spells. I believe that with everything I got. And I think that the advertising agencies all out there, I think they know that as well. They can sell you something by making it all exciting and happy with the music that they play, you know. And so, with that said, you know, you gotta really be on your toes when you're listening. That's why whenever I'm walking around and my grandchildren are watching a show, I'm listening in while they're watching the show or something on there, because I've heard some things that are being said by cartoon characters or, you know, children's shows that were really inappropriate, you know. And those kids are like sponges. They're absorbing this in. It's like what you was explaining earlier, how you could crush a child's spirit just by the words that come out of your mouth. Well, what do you think that those cartoons are doing, essentially indoctrinating your child into believing certain things are, you know, cool or whatever, you know? Witchcraft
and
violence.
This is the thing that... We've been talking also about frequency and energy, and this is the whole piece here in my understanding, is that we are beings of energy, and this recent video I was watching, I spoke about this before, about this professor, science professor, was talking about the thousands of cells within our bodies and how they have an intelligence and how they respond to what we ourselves believe in. It's like when the doctor says to you, "I'm sorry, John, you have 6 months to live." If you believe that doctor, you basically, your belief affects the cells and your immune system in your body, and this starts the trend, the downward spiral, right?
Yeah.
So the Symingtons, Dr. Carl Symington and Stephanie Symington, have studied this, and they were the forerunners of basically the mind-body-spirit connection, and how what we believe in basically affects our health, our well-being, and affects our immune system. You know, so they've done studies, and they worked with people, and it's interesting what they came to realize, was that if people had the will to live, the majority of these people went into remission.
Yep.
If these people did not, or were unable to find any reason for life or the will to live, the majority of them did not make it. That's pretty powerful.
I've witnessed that real time, you know, with on a personal in a family, one of the family members that basically said they wanted to die. You know, and
yes, I worked with a person who, his family asked me to come to help him, and he had been battling cancer, and he pretty much in our conversation said he doesn't want to live, and I basically at that point, there you go. So I said to his people, you know, he really has this will to die. He kept saying he wants to go to his mother, who had passed away a few years prior to that. And he has no reason to... And now, he had a family, but for him, something was deep inside of this man that he couldn't gather his will to stay, to will to live here. And he didn't last very long after that. I mean, so I have seen that.
Yeah, those words that came out of his mouth basically were preordained. I mean...
It's like a spell.
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
You know, and that's like you said, if you believe something that much, you know, all the trying and crying in the world can't bring a person back if they don't want to be here. You know, it's sad, but it's reality. That's why, you know, I'm always trying to uplift people's spirits. I really seriously take it serious when somebody even mention suicide or anything like that. You know, I know that there are individuals out there who may very well say it a lot just for doggone attention or whatever, you know, because everybody rallies around them and tries to, you know, talk nice to them and about them and stuff. But, you know, after a while, after so many repetitions of them doing the same exact thing, you know, it's like the boy that cried wolf. Nobody takes him serious. But in my way of thinking, they're doing it for, even if they're doing it for attention, I still got to take them serious. You know?
You know, so I want to talk about the words English, I say, has words in it that have have power, and some of them were presented to us to speak with an unknown or hidden power, right? It's interesting. So we can't take an unclean word and make it clean, okay? And we may not realize that these words are unclean. We can't make an unword clean, unclean word clean. For example, here, this is interesting, and I didn't know this, but this is what we're talking about. This is extraordinary to me. Take the word nice, okay? Oh, that person is nice, or this is nice, and so on, right? We think we know what that means, but you know what? Nice is derived from the Latin nescere, and nice means, in Latin, strange, lazy, foolish, stupid, ignorant, not knowing, difficult to please, fastidious, discriminative, and this is the real meaning behind the word nice. It is derived from a Latin word, nescere. So, this is odd, right? It's pretty wild, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think of that. I don't know. We ought to maybe do a study of the real meaning behind the words we use on a regular basis, you know? But here's a word. Here's what we talk about: unconditional love, right? I mean, I think we throw the word love around freely, you know, sometimes to impress people, or maybe sometimes we feel maybe we really may mean that. But if you happen to go, let's say, you know, we say we love someone, but due to some things we hold within us, if a person betrays us, or if a person does something that we feel hurt from, okay, or hurt by, we immediately shift out of that. So we have, I guess what I'm trying to say is unconditional is a key piece here. So unconditional love, how do we learn how to love others unconditionally? That's a huge leap. But this is a challenge, and I think we are being challenged in this day and time about love. Love unconditionally, because if you say I love you and yet you act towards that person, if they make a mistake or if they do something that you don't agree with or you don't like, you immediately attack them or you turn against them. So what happened to the love? Where's the real love here? Okay, we all make mistakes, and trust me, we are all going to make mistakes with people we are close to and so on. That's a given as a human nature. We're not perfect. But unconditional love puts us in that place where I think the elders are saying, no matter what, don't take anything personally. If you truly love, you have to not take anything personally, all right, is what I'm saying. You have to be in your heart. You really have to love unconditionally. And that's a powerful thing. It's not an easy thing, but that's where I am right in this moment of realizing this is our challenge as human beings, I feel. Because when you speak the words, I love you, you have to really mean it. There are no conditions. And that person that you say you love is going to make a mistake. It's inevitable because we are only human beings and we all have stuff.
Okay, I got something for that.
Yay!
Hey. You know, I understand what you just said because I get it a lot because I'm one of those people. I'm not afraid to say I love, you know, and I don't have to have a sexual relationship or a close physical relationship to be able to love. My love is unconditional and it's separate from this physical, emotional. When I'm speaking and when I say I love, it is because I love from a deeper perspective. It's beyond the physical. It's beyond the emotional. It's why I can have a disagreement. I can have someone act against me and still love them. It's a separate love. It has nothing to do with a physical love. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, is they feel that if you love, it must be a physical thing that you're investing in. You know, it must be an emotional feeling. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I like you, but I don't love you. Well, you're in the emotional side of things. I come from a different place. I've always been this way. I've never been afraid to say or to show, you know, I love. I love you. It doesn't matter who you are. You're beautiful to me. You are a wondrous being to me. And I love, when I say I love the trees, I love nature, I truly love them in that connection that goes beyond emotion and the physical. When I say that I love you, it goes beyond that physical. I'm not even in that physical realm. And so I think that a lot of people say the word love has been overused, but I don't know of a better word. I haven't created a better word than love. And we talk about that love frequency and how important it is. Well, how can we invest ourselves into that love frequency without accepting the word itself and being willing to stand in that love frequency and say, yes, I do love you. And it doesn't matter to me what your life is like. It doesn't matter to me the walk that you've walked, because I've got my own walk. I got my own mistakes, errors, baggage, and I still love you. You know, my emotional side can be angry, and it has been, but it doesn't touch that deeper part of me that goes beyond this physical being. And when I say to you, or I put my little hearts in chat and things like this, I'm not saying I love this physical being that you are. I'm saying that I love you, period. That beyond the physical, this is where I'm at. Just saying.
I posted something here in Skype. What do you ladies like to read that? That's from Stephen Gibbons.
Oh, is it in our Skype?
Yeah, it should be.
It's also in.
I got it.
Okay, because I don't have it.
Be a light unto the world, and hurt it not. Seek to build not destroy. Bring my people home. How? By your shining example. Seek only godliness. Speak only in truthfulness. Act only in love. Live the law of love now and forevermore. Give everything requiring or require nothing. Avoid the mundane. Do not accept the unacceptable. Teach all who seek to learn of me. Make every moment of your life an outpouring of love. Use every moment to think the highest thought, say the highest word, do the highest deed. In this, glorify your holy self, and thus too glorify me. Bring peace to the earth by bringing peace to all those whose lives you touch. Be peace. Feel and express in every moment your divine connection with the all and with every person, place, and thing. Embrace every circumstance. Own every fault. Share every joy. Contemplate every mystery. Walk in every man's shoes. Forgive every offense, including your own. Heal every heart. Honor every person's truth. Adore every person's God. Protect every person's rights. Preserve every person's dignity. Promote every person's interest. Provide every person's needs. Presume every person's holiness. Present every person's greatest gifts. Produce every person's blessing. Pronounce every person's future. Secure in the assured love of God. Be a living, breathing example of the highest truth that resides in you. Speak humbly of yourself, lest someone mistake your highest truth for boast. Speak softly, lest someone think you are merely calling for attention. Speak gently, that all might know of love. Speak openly, lest someone think you have something to hide. Speak candidly, so you cannot be mistaken. Speak often, so that your word may truly go forth. Speak respectfully, that no one be dishonored. Speak lovingly, that every syllable may heal. Speak of me with every utterance. Make of your life a gift. Remember always, you are the gift. Be a gift to everyone who enters your life and to everyone whose life you enter. Be careful not to enter another's life if you cannot be a gift. You can always be a gift because you always are the gift. Yet sometimes you don't let yourselves know that. When someone enters your life unexpectedly, look for the gift that person has come to receive from you. I have sent you nothing but angels. And that's from Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God and Uncommon Dialogue, book 2.
Wow.
Thanks, Stephen.
Whole lot of truth in that, right?
Yeah.
Very beautiful. And thank you, Stephen, for posting that. That is very beautiful. And, I love what it says here. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that many of us have learned how to be, you know, very cautious with our love because of the hurt that we've experienced. And I think to rise above that, in regards to that they are, I guess, well, the word I've only sent you in nothing but angels, you know, to look at that, that's pretty powerful. I have read that before, actually, and to to look at that and to understand that concept. And, you know, I have often said that even those who are doing bad things, I pray for them. I'm not saying they're an angel, but apparently, you know, this is what the message is here, that they are angels. And that we're all here participating in ways that, I guess well, we can get our buttons pushed, or we can step back from that and we could say, okay, if this is an angel, if this human here has been sent down by Creator just like myself, and we can judge them. I try not to judge people, but of course, you know, you see certain things going on and you have a thought or an idea about them. Why are they doing these things? Why are they being harmful or hurtful or so on? And in that moment, there's where we're given a choice through our free will, how to look at that person, to speak about that person, or what. But, so I try to really pray for those who are doing disturbing things and not spew out hate and divisiveness, because I think that's where we're being pushed today. So this, again, it's a big challenge, and I think this is part of that spiritual piece we talk about. The spiritual battle may be just this simple thing, that I have sent you nothing but angels, so that everybody in the world, we're all angels. And so shift into that. That's a challenge. But I think it's important. This is beautiful, really.
I have probably little differences of opinion than a lot of people that I've ever talked to about the way to respond to homeless people. You know, there's people that stand out there with signs and they'll hold up a sign and says, we'll work for food or need money to travel or something like that, you know. And regardless of whether or not that person might be trying to scam somebody or whatever, I don't judge. And a lot of people will say, you know, well, if you give this person money, they're just going to go buy drugs or alcohol with it. And it's not for me to decide whether or not that's that kind of person. Sometimes I look at it like this might very well be an angel from God that is actually testing me to see whether or not I really got love in my heart.
Well, it's not really their intent that you're working on, is it? It's what's in your heart. I've had the same thing said to me and Shaziz, and I will always, if there is someone in need and I have what they need, I'm going to give it to them. It has nothing to do with what they're going to do with what I give to them.
Yep.
It has everything to do with the fact that I did what was right for, you know, to do. I can't, like you said, I can't judge them. I can only judge my walk.
Well, the thing also is the fact that because we have been told that by so many different people, oh, they're just going to go buy drugs, those words are powerful enough that would actually get you to justify walking past somebody who needed your help. They desperately needed your help, but you automatically, because of the way they dressed or the way they looked or because of the words that you had heard prior, would get you to take and put your heart aside and walk right past them and do nothing.
Well, that's
but
what
if
I'm,
they
that's
did, it, yeah, if they did go and buy drugs with it, then that's on them.
That's on
it's
them.
Not on me.
I was going to say that too, Shaz, that we've been told by the authorities over and over again, oh, those people, don't feed those people, you know, don't give those people money because they're only going to do this and so forth. And people are following that, you know, those words that are really, to me, very harmful, to then take that position, to not help someone, to not reach out for someone, regardless of what they're going to do. And it does fall upon us. Then you are following the rule of authorities and turning your back on possibly someone that you might save their life, or that angel.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, regardless of whether or not, you know, I might have been actually walking past an angel and ignoring, you know, this message, in my own personal heart, I couldn't do it anyway. You know, it's just the way I'm built. It's the way I was raised. I couldn't just walk past somebody, even if they were going to go out and buy them drugs. That may be the only comfort they get in their life is that drug. And I'm sorry, you know, it's terrible. I'm not trying to say I want to be an enabler, because I wouldn't want anybody to go down that road. It's a terrible road to be on. But I don't want my soul tarnished by not being true to what my heart's telling me. Regardless of what this person may or may not do, it's not for me to judge. I'm gonna help them out. If I've got it to help them, I'm gonna help them out. That's all there is to it.
I'm the one who judges me. I don't have the right to judge someone else.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think if more people had that heart spirit inside them, I think that this would be a whole different world than what we're witnessing. You know, but like I said, those powerful words that have been, we've been indoctrinated, we've been mind controlled, we've been manipulated, and anybody who can say they have not is obviously not being truthful to themselves or anybody else when they say that, because you go out and buy things all the time just because you saw it on TV and it looked good and it sounded good and the music was all exciting. You go out and buy it, or you go watch a movie because it looks all wonderful, but those people that advertised to you, they knew what they were doing. They formulated those words in basically a spell that got you interested, and so you had to go see that movie. So sometimes you'll go out of your way and disregard something that's more important just so that you can go there, you know, in your mind justifying it, saying, well, I'll do that other deal later, you know, but the governments have had power over you with propaganda. And the media has fed power over you, because if the media is saying, well, it must be true, right? You know, and they're telling it to all these people. They can't be lying to all these people. But people will get out there, and after what they have heard, they will get angry, and they'll use their angry words at people, you know, dropping the F-bomb and the S-bomb and calling world women bees and stuff like that, you know. And I'm like, you know, if this person was in a really good mood, I bet that they have a really wonderful soul. I bet they're deep down inside, they're really a good person. But because of the words that they had heard and the words that they had read, they formulated a decision, and now they were so angry at the situation that they felt it necessary to use the power of their words to try to emphasize their anger. And in the process, look at the damage that is being done. I've seen networks fall flat on their face because every host was just, you know, hey, we practice freedom of speech here. We don't censor nobody. You say whatever you want. And they did. They said whatever they wanted. But, you know, me personally, I won't sit there and listen to somebody cursing all for an hour or two, you know. Even if I might agree with their perspective, if their words are being delivered to me in a hurtful manner to others, or, you know, violently, I won't sit there and listen. So you at least lost one listener. And when we're trying to get the message out to all people, because the urgency is so great of what we need to do in order to accomplish fixing this world, we can't afford to lose it, even one person. That one person may be the right person to get the message out yet even further. It's that positive pebble in the pond, you know. You put a big giant stone in the middle of that pond, guess what? When you throw that pebble out there, the ripples go around that stone. So whatever's sitting on that stone isn't affected by that positive message that you put out there. And so,
you know,
this is why we respectfully self-censor our language, because we understand how powerful words really are.
Right. You know, I was nearly homeless. Thank goodness it didn't happen, but I was on the verge of that years ago. And I always say, you know, that saying, therefore, but the grace of God go I.
I love that.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it could be me there on that street, sitting on that corner with a sign. You know, it could be any one of you.
I was homeless.
You
with
were.
A child.
Oh,
my
wow.
First child. I was homeless. If it were not for the grace of people who had no idea who I was,
right,
who reached out.
Thank goodness.
And shared what they had with me without condition. I mean, it was the blessing of my life, and it allowed me to stabilize. But the thing is that if we go through life looking at people in need and deciding, well, you look like a druggie, and I think you might use whatever I give you for drugs, and I don't want you to do drugs, so I'm gonna not give you any what you need, what you're asking for. I'm gonna decide what you need. Then I'm interfering with a path. I was raised. We took in homeless people all the time. We brought them to my dad's shop. We fed them. We brought them into our home. We even got them houses. We helped a man and his daughter who we found sleeping in an old wrecked car on my dad's lot because they had nowhere to go. And he was an alcoholic. He was a big alcoholic. His daughter was 4 years old. And so we took them in. And when we left them, he had a job. He was no longer an alcoholic. And it was the first time in his life with that 4 year old child that someone reached out to him. And there's been many people in my life. That's the way I was raised. My father was that way. If he saw someone in need, he never asked, you know, hey, are you doing drugs? Hey, are you an alcoholic? What are you going to do? You know, my dad opened his arms and said, I'm going to help you. What do you need? And that's the way I was taught. And I've never regretted, ever, never, ever regretted helping anyone, regardless of what they did after I helped them. You know, whether I gave them money or food or clothing.
My mom was like that. She helped, you know, the people whomever needed help. She never said, well, you know, they don't deserve it or they're this. Or she never judged people. She just saw those that needed help and helped them as best she could, you know. This is what this is about. I think what we're all being asked to do is just remember that we're all human people. We're all family. We all have feelings. We all have bad luck. We all have troubles. And some, you know, some are down deeper than we are or, you know, lost. But do we turn our backs on them because of that? I mean, like, I have to say
and
it again.
Woe to me if I do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Do you ladies know the meaning of the word jaded?
Yeah. Well, we may think we know.
the version that Google pops up is tired, bored, lacking enthusiasm, typically after had too much of something. You know, that there's a whole lot of different directions that you could go in there, but, you know, when people over a certain period of time become, I'm going to say, so desensitized by all the chaos that they kind of become jaded. You know, they're tired of it. Their enthusiasm for life is gone. And so all this craziness, the power of words, when people sitting around cussing each other out all the time, you know, you get so tired of it. You just lack enthusiasm. It actually has the power to drain power from your spirit, you know? And I think that there's a lot of people that, you know, might just fall under that category of just being burned out by so many things, so many negative vibes or frequencies being sent to them. And I don't ever want to put somebody in that position. I don't ever want somebody to, you know, I like it when people want to come back and visit with me. That's awesome. Because I love people. I love it when they want to come back. It's not a ego thing. It's not a you know, something I have to have, but it energizes me to see when a friend or a brother or sister or relative comes up and they're smiling, they're happy to see me. They want to see me again. You know, I always like every time I leave the room or leave somewhere, I want to leave them with something good. So that the next time I come back, it's not, oh, no, it's that crazy Shaziz again. Boy, he's just going to start talking negative, and I'm just going to be, I don't want to hear this again. I can't deal with it. You know what I mean?
You know that I didn't know this. I just looked up jaded. So what are the origins I wrote? And jaded actually comes from the noun jade, although the origins of the latter are unknown. But jade was a derogatory term for a horse of little worth. a horse, usually as a result of its breed, its bloodline, training, age, condition, and temperament. So it's kind of interesting, right?
Well, yeah, but see, that's the whole thing. Sometimes the intentions of a word can really seriously make a difference. Just the tone of the way that you present a word can mean, you know, something, make that one word mean something completely different because of the way that you actually said it. You know, some people will drop the F-bomb as a joke, you know, it's funny, you know, or to emphasize something, and there's actually some comedy guys out there that basically take that word to extremes in all different directions of the meaning of that particular word, you know, and some people might find it humorous, but the negativity that comes about by that particular word, because of all the visuals that it has the power to embed in your mind, I don't need there. You know, my mind's cluttered up enough watching the mainstream news media or even listening to some alternative media. I want to hear the good news for once. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we started out talking about the power of words. And when you think about yourself and use words that are derogatory about yourself, then you are basically manifesting that, you know, right? So it's, if we don't think of ourselves as sacred, for instance, right, but we have no concept of that, or we've taken on the system's belief that we are, you know, worthless, we have no value, that we are powerless, that we are ignorant, stupid, or beneath others, or others are better than us. If we've taken that on and believe that, that's what we create.
Well, there's a couple phrases out there. One is that you are what you eat, all right? And then there's all the another one out there that is food for thought. And so if you are what you eat and it's food for thought, and you're sitting there spewing out all this stuff or absorbing in all of that stuff, what do you become from that? You see what I'm trying to say here? Sorry, we got a dead spot.
Yes. I was trying to get to my meat.
But that, I just think that, you know, if you entertain that negativity, then you sort of like become that negativity. Am I wrong?
No, and you know, I'm not meaning to say, I want to make clear. If you feel that you have certain guidelines in your life that you have put in place, and like there's some people in the chat that say, you know, well, they might be druggies and I don't want to continue their drug habits, and I would rather talk to them. I would rather sit down with them or I would rather teach them to grow a garden or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's great. You could actually take them out and have a meal and learn a little bit more and actually be proactive to try to help uplift their life, right?
Yeah, it's the act of going beyond yourself and being giving is the main thing. To not look at others and to slight them as if they, whatever position they are in life, as if that is a detriment to anything that can bring you two together. You know, this is how the world breaks. This is how we break, is when we separate ourselves from any individual and say, because I see what you're doing is not just, then I'm going to treat you in that way. If we say, I think you're a drug addict, I'm not going to give you the time of day, then I think, this is what I think, that we have, in fact, made a judgment against ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
We're not on this earth to do anything other than to experience and be part of this experience, to learn lessons, as far as I'm concerned. That's the way I see this. And it's only our experiences that count. Someone else's experiences are their experiences. What we take away from any circumstance we find ourselves in belongs to us. How we move through it belongs to us. And what we come out with on the other side belongs to us. All the stuff in between is just there to create that lesson for us.
Yep.
So if we have a certain way that we deal with things, that belongs to us, and we have to own that for what it is. And there should be, what I'm trying to say is, I can't place judgment on anybody for not wanting to give. I'm speaking from my perspective and how I see life, which does not detract from how you see life or how you walk through life. It's two separate things. I own what I do, and you own what you do. And I'm not going to judge you for what you do, but I don't want you to judge me for what I do. You know, when we start judging each other's, when we start saying that this one has worth and this one doesn't, then we are part of the separation. We are part of the division. No matter how we justify it. Well, he's just a drug addict. I can't be bothered with that. I don't want that in my life. You know, that's a separation. And it filters out into the rest of our lives. Well, I don't like what that person has to say. Well, I don't like the car that that person drives, or look at that person over there who thinks they're so-so. You know, it's the state that we exist in that is important, you know, and to be conscious of that, just saying.
You know, there's a lot of people across the board that actually believe that we can speak into existence, you know, our reality, and I'm a firm believer. You know, according to the story in the book that, you know, God said, let there be light, and there was light, you know, spoke into all that we know into existence. Regardless of whether you believe that or not, that's neither here nor there. But there's a lot of people across a wide spectrum that believe that the words are so powerful that you can literally speak into existence your life. You know, think about it. From the time you first learn how to communicate with others, you start talking to these people in whichever way that you choose to talk, and you will either push them away or you'll bring them together, and that's a lot of power. So you literally created your life just by those words coming out of your mouth, and you create happenings in other people's lives by the words that are coming out of your mouth. You basically had the power to either gather all the loved ones together in, you know, a happy time, or you could have got them all in a massive feud just by what you say. And that's why I say, you know, the responsibility that you two ladies talk about all the time, about, you know, being self-responsible for your actions and your words. You know, I believe that with everything I got, because I've witnessed it. I've seen it throughout my entire life. That you can literally affect everything around you, the entire mood of the room, the way that when these people leave up out of that room, the way that they feel, what they're going to do when they leave up out of this room. They're going to go out there because they're angry, and somebody's going to trigger them, and next thing you know, they're out there in a fight. They may have never ever gotten to that fight had you would have said something kind to them before they ever left that room. Or they get angry and they jump in their car and they speed off and they run over a dog or a kid, or they hit another car or something like that. I just triggered this person into irrational thinking with the power of my words. And I could have not done that. You know, we can't...
Well, the phrase, there but for the grace of God go I.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's a fact, because I have found myself in positions where someone helped me. I've been there. I have been there. My life is a freaking roller coaster. You would not believe the things that go on in my life. It would be, it's like science fiction almost, you know, that, what a drama. I'm the most, unassuming person. I live a very quiet life, yet, there's chaos all around me all the time. And it visits me on a daily basis.
Well, it's amazing to me the person that you are after visualizing what you just explained, because you were able to, right now, actually speak out some love and common sense after having gone through everything that you've gone through. You know, some people would be on here bleeping this and bleeping that, and I hate everybody, the world stinks, and we're all going to die and all this. But no, you're out here actually sharing that experience with people in a good and constructive and a loving manner. And to me, I find that to be awesome.
That's my sister. That's my sis. Love you. Yeah.
It's amazing. Love you too, sis.
That's why.
It's just important to me that I don't lose me. And I like me. I like who I am. I'm comfortable with me. I accept me. My mom used to say a lot, you know, if you can't look in the mirror, then you need to make a change. And she didn't mean by literally looking in the mirror, but she meant by looking at yourself and being happy with yourself. And I've made mistakes. Believe me, I've stepped on the wrong side. I've done things that have hurt people, and I feel that hurt so deeply. It is a wound to me to know that I hurt people, seriously. And I've always been that way. So that's kind of like my my scale there, that for the things that I do, they come back to me, and it's instant. I had a disagreement with, I was unfairly accused of something very serious a long time ago by someone that was a dearest friend of mine. And, my best friend, she sided with this other person, and it hurt my heart. Oh my gosh, it hurt my heart so deeply. And when she came over to my house, that emotion came out, and I went off. I mean, I went off, and I read her the riot act, and I didn't hold my tongue a bit. I told her exactly what she put me through. And at the end of that, when I looked in her eyes, I saw the pain that was there. And I, when she spoke, I heard the pain in her voice, and I realized what I had done. I had taken my anger, and I had projected it onto her, when she had seriously done nothing wrong. She was just trying to keep the peace between both, right? Because she loved us both. But in the moment of that pain that I had, I made her feel terribly. I mean, so terribly. And to this day, I love her so much because she did not walk away from me. She never walked away from me. She knew that that was my pain, and she embraced me regardless and would not walk away. That was a lesson beyond lessons to me, that someone else could love and understand that emotional pain and accept it for what it was and not hold it against me. Betsy is my dearest and truest and best friend and always will be. She is my sister. She is the love of my life as far as my sister goes, because she was there and never gave up on me. That's a lesson that needs to be learned. And we learn it all through life. It's not you know, I'm not perfect. I'm going to get angry at somebody. I will. I'm not a perfect person at all. I got faults that just line the walls, right? I'm not in any way this perfect little thing. I have enough to probably fill a book. But the thing of it is that I see it for what it is. And I correct it as I go. And I become better every time. You know, that's the growth in understanding, the growth in experience, and accepting the fact that, hey, sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you don't know what you think you know. Sometimes your best intentions are not the best. You know, being able to accept this, to me, is what brought me where I'm at. I'm not trying to tell everybody that I've always been this perfect little creature, because I haven't. And I'm not going to be a perfect creature throughout the rest of my life, however long that may be. But what I can say is that I am going to try, when I find my faults, to bring them back in and to change that aspect of who I am. You know, just saying.
Well, I think that's a good, a beautiful, you know, experience hearing you, for all of us. It's important for us all to hear that. I think, you know, we're all learning about this. We're all struggling about this. How can we elevate ourselves and come to a better place as a human being during our time here on this earth, which isn't a very long time now, coming to realize that. You know, into looking, to taking, you know, responsibility for the things that we have done. And we're all doing things, you know, as I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect person. Nobody is. When perfection comes, we're going to be out of this physical experience. That's what I feel. So I think we're like all learning here, and it's up to us to want to learn. It's up to us to want to say, okay, wow, what just happened? And let me look at my part in this, and or not hold grudges. I mean, I think grudges are a serious issue, a serious human fault, because people have had issues happen in their families where they'll never speak to them each other again. You know, they'll hold this grudge against each other. There's never a healing. There's never a coming together stepping into that circle of love. There's just this energy of a grudge, you know, of this hate that divided people who once loved each other or said they loved each other, you know, and this happens all the time. It's a big lesson.
And it eats you up, doesn't it? I mean, you constantly...
Well, of course it does. Yes, that's a sickness. That causes sickness. And this is what we're all dealing with. You know, how long will someone hold a grudge against you because you made a mistake, or you may have said something that they did not agree with? You know, how long do we have the capacity to hold that and not even say, well, they made a mistake, or, well, I disagreed with them because, well, they said something that I didn't like. I have a different opinion, but I'm gonna knock them out of my life. I'm never gonna speak to them again. How often do we do that? How long does that go on? Our capacity to hold grudges and to let that eat us, like you say, eat at us. It's ever present. It doesn't disappear. You may not be focused on it, but energetically, it's there. It's present. And when you see that person, or you see their name, or you hear something about them, that wave of your anger and whatever it is that you're holding against, that comes back, and that is ever present, and that hits you. You know, you could just be going around your day and having a good day, and somebody says, oh, I saw so-and-so the other day, and wham, that so-and-so is the person that you're holding a grudge against, and there's that energy come back, slam around. But, you know, what goes around comes around, and we know that it sort of has a life forever, those energies. It's, I think, like you've just expressed, you know, and we're talking about here, is it's in our hands. We have free will to choose to either hold these things to... you know, to hold on to that moment where we may have hurt someone and not give in or not give up or not get it or not take responsibility. That's where we are today. You know, big school.
I posted a letter that I wrote a long time ago. It's kind of like a basically a blanket letter to anyone out there who would listen, representatives and stuff like that, into the Skype. If you guys want to read that now or later, that's fine. Well, I also posted that same link into the People for People chat room. I need to post it over there in the Shaziz chat room as well. But I sat down and I tried to find the best words possible to say to motivate everyone that, you know, I could reach with that message, because I feel an urgency about the way that our world is going, and I honestly believe that we can fix things. You know, a lot of people will disagree with me on that. They don't believe that, think that things are too terrible and there's no way that we could ever fix it. But I can't allow myself to believe those words that people say, that it's not possible, because otherwise that means I got to give up on the dream. You know, that dream of actually being able to build a better world for our children. So I tried to formulate those words the best I possibly could. So, you know, maybe if you get a chance to read that now or later, whatever, you can let me know what you think of that message that I tried to send to people.
Well, we can if the chat, you guys want me to read this out for you, or do you want to go to the link? I'll leave it to you guys. If you want me to, I can read it out, or you can go to the link that Jesus has posted in the chat if you'd like. Just let me know. Okay.
Are you asking us, Patty, here?
I'm asking the chat.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'd read it because myself, but I can write better than I can stumble on my words, and, you know, I have a heck of a time trying to communicate these days.
Well, I'll go ahead and read it. Okay,
yeah.
Guys?
Good idea.
Okay. It begins. Dear Representative, thank you for your service in all that you do in what is right and just according to your oath of office. I, as you, and I hope that we can agree that I want for my children and my children's children a future well above the standards of the situation that we as humanity face in the here and now. I believe that we are the founding fathers and mothers of our children's future, and what we do today will define the world that they will live in tomorrow. It is with a heavy heart that I look upon this challenge within myself and before the eyes of God, that I ask the questions of myself. Have I kept true to my beliefs and honored my faith? Have I done justice to my neighbors, not just here, but my world family as well, across the pond? Have I laid before the children stepping stones that will give them a smooth path into the future, so that they too may pass that on when I pass on into wherever it is that we as humans go from here? Will I leave behind positive footprints that will lead to a better future for all humanity? Have I treated my fellow man as I would like to have been treated myself? Have I made a mark of lasting impression in the history of time that is worthy of the cause set before me by my forefathers and mothers? Though in my belief no man can get into heaven by works alone, regardless of my own faith, have I paved the road for others to follow into a better and safer way of life? Have I honored my mother for her works and the gift of my life? Have I honored my father for his labors, love, and guiding hands in protecting me from my own misdeeds? Have I honored my country and stayed true the path of bringing people, hope, and love to all those in need that so many before me have fought and died to preserve? Have I achieved with my life what I set in my heart as the cause that is just? Have I honored the memories of all those whom have sacrificed to give me this road that I currently travel? have I ensured for the future generations the security of peace and hope and freedom that I myself have enjoyed. As I look upon my own life and all the mistakes that I know that I have made, and I weigh all my deeds from this brief life compared to the grand scale of time, have I touched a heart in a positive way that will send a ripple through the fabrics of time and bring about a world better than mine? I, my friend, can never change my past, nor can I go back and change my deeds. I can, however, from today and beyond, send nothing but positive ripples into the world's pond. I am, with heavy heart, reaching out to you in hopes that my words in your heart ring so true. Tomorrow's world, it starts with you. It isn't my place to place any blame. It isn't my intention to cause any shame, nor is it my place to judge lest I be judged. I am nothing more than an average man. You are my brothers and sisters from every land, and from my nation offering my hand. Together, with all our difference shifted aside, we can create a heaven on the earth that within we all reside. My ambitions in life, my hopes and my dreams, my needs, just the same, I'm asking for peace in my God's name. The children of this world in war-torn zones and poverty-stricken makeshift homes, these are the future of all mankind and will carry our actions to the end of time. Let us together break these chains of never-ending cycles of destructive pains. Join with me, brothers and sisters, in love. Bring to this world the sounds of hope, peace, and love that will ring from the ground to the heavens above. It sounds fantastic, like an unachievable dream. Can we get the world to agree on one single thing? On this path that our nations are on, will the outcome be good, or shall we go down the abyss, a sure path to destruction? I, in my heart, mean you no harm, nor want for you the least of despair. This letter to you, my friend, is to say that I care. This is my most profound letter of peace that comes from my heart to share with you. Together, we, the people, there is nothing that we cannot do. No problems too big, no person too small. Help. Do this for ourselves and our children most of all. So with all that said, you have heard me ask of myself, am I worthy of the challenge, or does the dream go back on the shelf? We need each other. Children need books, the hungry need food, and the sick need care. I, my friend, will stand on that front line, asking you from my heart, will you join me there? Peace and love to the world, Shaziz. That's so beautiful, Shaziz. Thank you.
Brought tears to my eyes.
You know, I think that tolerance is a very big thing, and we don't give enough attention to it because we're so caught up with what's going on. But maybe what's going on is because we've lost our ability to be tolerant, our ability to be compassionate, our ability to step on the other side, except for the grace of God. Go I.
Amen. I tell you, I only do this because it comes from my heart. Where it comes from before it gets to my heart, I can't explain. I got this love that it just keeps on growing, and I see this world And I see the blessings that we've been given, and I know that at least our children deserve so much better than what we've had to contend with. And I honestly believe that if we honor ourselves and our families and our countries and one another, the founding fathers and the mothers of all that we've been given to the earth itself, if we honor our Creator, we could take all the free will that we've ever been given, we could take all these blessings, and we could make such a wonderful place. I believe that with every ounce of my soul.
You know, I feel that. Well, I feel that. That's one thing I love about you, how you are in your spirit and the love that you have. You know, your passion for humanity and this creation, and you know, I feel that. Well, Red mentioned the original instructions that I've often spoken about, and you know, it brought to my mind that he said we can get back there, and I believe that, because it's not gone, it's not lost, it's just been covered up with a bunch of dark, dirty stuff and other beliefs that are not true to Creator's law or to the original instructions that were given to every one of us. And you know, it's like, to me, peace exists. We just have to step into that circle of peace. We have to be peace. You know, love, that unconditional love, does already exist. Harmony and balance, it already is existent, in existence. It's part of creation. It's just that we've stepped outside that circle. You know, we've been dragged outside of that circle. Some of us have been pushed deliberately outside of that circle of energy, that frequency of peace. You know, and everything begins with each one of us. Everything, like we say, peace begins with us, right? Same thing right across the board. But it's not something we don't have to really, I think, well, let me look at it this way, or say it this way. I have come to believe and realize that everything that we would ever dream of, everything that would be so necessary for us as human beings, has already been created. Therefore, it's sort of like we have to sort of choose through our free will, what frequency do we want to step into? Do we want to step into and be the frequency of peace? Do we want to step into and be the frequency of that love that we're talking about? Kindness, tenderness, that, like you said, Patty, tolerance, you know, tenderness. It's up to us. Everything has already been created that we could ever dream of or need or is necessary for us humans, you know, for us people to really elevate ourselves above all that we see happening and roiling around that is disturbing us, that is hurting us. You know, so that's Creator's law. Creator's law is a constant. The Creator's love for us is a constant. You know, that energy of peace and light and love and joy is a constant. If we don't feel that, we've stepped outside of that, or have been dragged outside of that light, that frequency. Or perhaps we have chosen that through our free will. You know, but there's many tests, there's many challenges, you know, and there's many, temptations that we are being inundated with. And it's all about what we choose through our free will. What do you choose? It's up to each one of us.
Yeah. You know, my name, Walking Turtle, people ask me all the time, where'd you get that name? Well, it's really Turtle Walker, but for my online, I go Walking Turtle. What it means is that I've walked Turtle Island, not so much now because I can't walk really far, but in my life, that's what I've done. I've walked across Turtle Island, and I've learned. I've had so many beautiful, wonderful teachers, wise teachers, still, every day. And when I was, about 30, in my 30s, I started writing down the things that I've learned. And I'm going to read you one that is very, I think, apropos to what we're talking about today. It says, "No one can say to me, 'Pray this way,' or 'that I have sinned.' Their ideologies and judgments have no meaning to me. They are like the wind that blows through the trees and then is gone. This is not because I have learned all that is known, or that there is no one who can teach me, for the ant in its small stature holds more wisdom greater than that which I carry. But then, that is true for all who share life upon this great mother. It is only our experiences that differ. We all travel in the same direction toward the great mystery, and it is only the lessons learned that will carry on. Therefore, it should be that my words, my faith, my beliefs should reflect my lessons learned, not those of others. It is the same with prayer. There is no certain song, no collective verse needed to speak with the Creator. The Spirit has no need of words. They are for the benefit of self as a testament to one's inner truth and desires. It is my connection to all my relations that teaches me the truth of who I am, a knowing beyond the physical, an understanding that I am part of the whole. Nothing lives that is not part of me and that I am not part of also. If I say to you, 'All life is sacred,' and I take the life of my relation in dishonor, then I have given false witness to my words and have dishonored the Creator who has made all living things. If I say, 'I care about my relations,' and ignore the pleas of help from another, then I have dishonored the Creator, and I have rejected the will of the Creator that we should love one another. Arrogance is food for the ego, and it says that I am more than any other. But in truth, I am no more than flesh and bone, which will in time to return to the mother. Only my spirit, that which is eternal, will go forward."
Wow.
Beautiful. Beautifully said.
This is where I live my life. In this. You know, and we get caught up, you know, in worrying about other people and what they might think or what they're doing and how they're doing it and why they're doing it. And we step away from the, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And we start investing what we should be investing in ourselves in things we cannot change outwardly. You know, what we change changes in us, and how we move through life then has the ability to change others as they watch us as we walk. And if we speak the words but we walk differently, they'll know this.
Yep.
It's why we say we have to walk the talk. You know,
well,
and not beat yourself up when sometimes you stumble.
I like the lighthouse example. You know, be that lighthouse. That if you really actually contemplate on what a lighthouse's job is, you know, it's to keep people from harm. You know, the ships out to sea, they get lost in storms or whatever, and they can know where the reefs are. They can know where land is, and if you're that lighthouse. You can do the same being there for people when they are going through times that you may have already been through yourself, where you can share that experience and potentially save their life. You know?
But it's like to me, a lighthouse is a beacon. It's a beacon of light. That's all that it does. It shines that light. And, you know, the words, Metakuye Oyasan, that we often use in our tradition means we recognize that we are related, you are my relation. And You know, and I see today those words, even if you don't use the word Metakwiyoyosin, I see the words, well, we're all family, we're one human family, and we're all alike, and we all want the same thing. If you put everybody in a room from different heritage or, you know, religions or whatever, different color, rainbow colors, if you put them all in the same room, ultimately the conversation would come to what we all really truly want, is we all really want the same thing. We want peace. We don't want to send our children to war. And we want good food, healthy food for our children. We want to leave here on this earth something really good, the way it was for our grandparents and great-grandparents. It's a beautiful, healthy way to live, clean water, clean air, healthy food. We want to leave that. We would all say the same thing. But then the judgments slip in. Because people can say, well, we're all related, we're all one big family, except for that person over there, because, well, they're doing bad things. And there's where we get caught, and we go downhill, and our words are very powerful, as we said before. I guess for me, I'm just realizing in my life that the way I live my life, the way I walk, and what I do, my words, my actions are so powerful, and I have to take that responsibility, because in the end, I'm going to have to atone for that. I'm going to have to sit there, and I'm going to have to come to the ancestors, the grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, who are waiting. And some people say, well, you might meet an angel, or some people say Jesus might be standing there, or you just might go straight to the great spirit creator, that frequency, that light, that purity that is beyond our comprehension of the love that exists there. But either way, we meet, or we come to understand what we have done here on this earth, the way we lived our lives. And we have to review that. That's like they call it the life review, you know. And so we're here doing our best, you know. Those of us who are talking like this, we're all going to make mistakes, you know, and we're all going to have to review those mistakes. And that's just the way life is, and that's the way the other side is, I feel. So it's in our hands what we want to choose to manifest and create here, and what we will have to review when that time comes.
I just hope that I've learned the lesson that life was supposed to be teaching me. I hope I learned it well, because if I got to face judgment someday, you know, my faith talks about you don't get into heaven by works alone, and I get that, you know. But there's a phrase that talks about Jesus saying about depart from me, I never knew you, and that those would be the most painful words that I would ever hear. I hope to never hear words like that, you know. But no matter whether there's good or bad or nothing after this, I'm satisfied with the lesson that I've learned in life. I think that, you know, I think that I got a pretty good soul. And I hope that it inspires people to want to be better for themselves, to want to be better for each other. Because the road that I've went down in my life, I've said this many times on this show and others, that I've seen things in my life that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. Because as a human going through that myself and seeing and witnessing the things that I've seen throughout my journey in this world, it was painful to watch. It was painful to see. And if I don't want myself to feel like that, I should never want anyone else in this world to feel like that. And so that's why I do what it is that I do here. This is why I love every single time that we come together on the Knights of the Round Table. I love to listen to you speak, Barbara. I love to listen to you speak, Patty. I love it when I see these comments that come in the chat room. Some of these people in the chat room, they got hearts of gold. We got some funny people. We got some comedians, but you know, hey, that's family. You always got those people in your family that are a little on the wild side, but you love them nonetheless. And it's just because that one ain't doing the right thing doesn't mean that someday that one can't find some redemption in their own life and maybe decide to be, you know, a better person for everyone involved. I think that those lessons are learned. I feel them in my heart and spirit, and I think that I'm thankful for all the hard times that I went down, because otherwise I might be a completely different person. And you know, I don't like it when people are selfish, and I wouldn't want to be selfish myself. So I do the best I can with what I got to work with. I think we can fix this world. I believe, with everything that I am, that we can fix this world. And I believe it actually starts here. Every single journey starts with the first step that you take. And I think we've taken leaps and bounds here at the Knights of the Round Table, and I'm so happy. I am so happy and so humbled. When I first started the Knights of the Round Table, I didn't think that it would ever go as far as what it has. I never, you know, I had hopes, but I could have never envisioned what we've accomplished here, bringing people together. And I am so glad that I made that choice. You know, I had to put the doggone constitutional peasants and the Monty Python Knights of the Round Table, because I don't want to be no king. It's, you know, King Shaziz the Terrible. It's just to lighten up the load before you go into the war zone, where you have to talk about things that you really don't want to, in order to bring about the solutions of the things that you can resolve. So I think I did pretty good here. I'm happy about it.
I kind of see you as a very loving man and a beautiful person, and you know, when I hear you say the words, you know that you hope your soul is good, you know, well, I feel that our souls are good. Our souls are pure. It is us, the human, that have bumps in the road and make mistakes and choices and experience things for our benefit to learn from. I feel also that Creator, Great Spirit, that frequency of that creation, or the Creator's ability to create this world, this Mother Earth, and life from love, from an awesome love, from a creation of unconditional love. It's like we're the children, or sacred children. I believe we're all sacred children. And when you leave your home, when you leave your mom and dad, and you go out into the world, you know, you're going to fall down, you're going to scrape your knees, you're going to make mistakes, you know, you're going to learn, hopefully, and you're going to come back round, hopefully, and this is the whole point, is to recognize ourselves, I think, as sacred beings, and to forgive ourselves, or to know that we are here in a big school, we're learning, and hopefully we excel at that, and we graduate. I feel that because I've been in that light, I've had that near-death experience more than once, where I have experienced that unconditional love. I felt like I went back home, and I do feel that. But I think as a consciousness, you know, we will have to review the things, you know. But it doesn't mean that we're, you know, bad, or we're going to be sent to the corner. It's part of this movement of that soul, that learning, that time spent in this human physical experience, you know. So I think that we have all been given a chance to raise above or rise above, you know, these temptations and these struggles, and it's going to continue. Yeah, if this is a big school that we came to, we're all here to learn, and we're learning mostly, I think, from our mistakes. To me, that's what this is. But we have to choose to want to learn from our mistakes, right? I mean, that's where we are. This is how I feel. So to me, I'm happy to be here on your Knights of the Round Table. It's a beautiful gift to be able to share and speak to others and with you guys. And also, yeah, looking at the chat, there's some pretty awesome stuff out there. And, you know, there's also the the family dynamic is like, well, there's always a black sheep in the family, right? Then there's the middle child, and then there's the first child, and then there's the last child. There's all these dynamics that, that this family has, and it comes all with opportunities and a lot of things we all need to deal with, you know. I think I'm sort of like the black sheep in my family, you know. I was that, you know, sort of the different one, or whatever you want to call it, the outsider one. When I got into school, I was the different one, and so on, you know. So we all have these different positions, I guess you want to say. But here we are today, being given this opportunity. I feel, again, another beautiful opportunity to learn from our mistakes, but also to share these things, the mistakes we've made, and how we are given that opportunity to learn from them, right?
I posted a link in there from Stephen Gibbons and something he wrote he wanted to share with everybody out there. I posted a link in People for People Radio Network and here in the Skype chat for you folks to take a read at. You know what I think would be so amazing? I would love to go back and find all of our best words and put them in some sort of binder and share them out there with everybody. You know, some sort of little book or whatever. Because some of the things, when I heard Patty reading my words, it brought tears to my eyes. You know, she read the story about Goliath, and I had the same exact result. And I can't take credit for those words because I can't tell you where they came from. But those powerful, the powerful meanings of the way that those words were formulated, I just think that if more people would share what's inside their hearts and write it down and share it with the world, I mean, start you a blog or get out there and you know, write a book or something and just put positive, I mean, as much positivity as you can into this world. I say it only takes one candle to fight back the darkness in the darkest abyss. One candle starts that process, and I think if all of us take that light that's in within us, the more candles you get going on, the brighter it becomes, and I can't see any better way to go than to, you know, light up a smooth path for those folks that might be heading down the wrong road, or, you know, those folks that are on the way here as we speak. There's babies being born today that they don't know what they're getting into, I don't think. They might. They might have volunteered, like you said, to come down here. But if they did, there's some brave souls to come into this world the way that it is right now. I think we can clean this thing up. I think we can light it up. I think we can pour so much love out into this world that it's like that vision I talked about having, vision or dream or whatever, where I was standing in the presence of my Creator, and even if I wanted to say something bad, I couldn't. I mean, I was just in that type of love. Why would you even want to? I mean, it was the best feeling that I've ever experienced in my life. And I want everyone else out there to be able to experience that. I want everybody to be able to experience what Barbara feels when she's out there walking around the land on her property with nature, and what Patty feels, the journey she took on Turtle Island. I want everybody to feel and experience those wonders, the miracles that you step over on a regular basis and you don't even realize how lucky you truly are. I want everybody to know that. I want everybody to feel what it is that I'm trying to express with words that may not even be. I said whenever I was trying to explain the vision or the dream that I had about standing in the presence of God, you could take all the best writers in the world and they couldn't formulate the words to express the type of love that we're talking about. And it is achievable. In Genesis, it talks about how we were created in God's image, which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny, and we quite literally lay the foundation for the future man of mankind. That's power. That is true power. And you can choose to wield that sword in whichever direction you want, whether it be for good or evil. That's why I try to emphasize about when we're on the Knights of the Round Table or doing radio shows that we be as respectful as we can to others with the language that we use, not because we're trying to be hypocrites or anything like that, is because we're trying to reach the hearts of the many. And in the world that we live in, and the walls and the hurdles that we got to overcome in order to get a message down the road and out there into the world, it's a challenge. And the ultimate dream of producing what I like to call a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, that's a big, big, big request from a world that has been so long deceived. I don't know what else to say. You reach down in your heart and you choose, decide the path that you want to go and the path that you want your family and your friends and your children. And then you do your radio show. That's the way I do.
We have a question for the panel. It says, we speak of co-creation, but in reality, we can only create thoughts and manifest those thoughts either with action or in action. What are your thoughts?
Well, if you've got powerful words that inspire, you can get other people to do a lot of things, including go to battle for you. That's what the kings and the queens and the governments figured out. That's what the money men's figured out. Those words coming out of your mouth can inspire people to kill one another. Those words coming out of your mouth could inspire people to do a lot of good things or a lot of bad things. Actions do speak louder to words in a lot of incidents. But it isn't the big man at the top that goes to battle. It's you. And he used the power of his words, the power of his fear, the power of his propaganda, the power of his lies, his manipulation, to get you to go out there and destroy another life under the guise of freedom, patriotism, or even justice for that matter.
Well, if we're talking about frequency, we're learning more and more about energy and frequency, the vibrations of words, the power of words through those frequencies, either positive or negative. The frequency itself is the reverberation that impacts all of creation, all of life. I mean, we feel people's energies. We feel, we often, for instance, someone will be thinking about us, or we thinking of them, and suddenly they text us or they email us. I mean, this is the power of words or thoughts or emotions. This is what we're talking about. We're learning more and more about the power we have as co-creators. You know, yes, so we can only create a thought and manifest those either way, with action or inaction. So, but there's something else that we're learning, is that you don't necessarily have to take an action. You can sit there with a group of people, for instance, and focus every week at the same time with those people in different parts of the world on love and peace and harmony and healing. And then you can do studies during that time that took 4 years. I'm speaking of a particular incident where things shifted in every one of those cities, where there was less violence, where there was less emergencies, where there was, you know, less murders and less police calls and various things like that. So the people that did that just sat there together and opened themselves and focused on using their thought and the power of love in their heart to send that energy out into the world. They didn't get up and they didn't, you know, go on the corner and start yelling about, you guys have to stop fighting, we need peace. They just sat with the frequency from their heart spirits, sending out the frequency of peace, light, and love. And it made an impact. They did it for 4 years. So you know, we're learning about these things. You know, I was told that we are the seed planters. My spirit told me we people are seed planters. Every thought, every emotion, and every act plants a seed, a vibration, a frequency that affects the whole throughout the whole of the web, energy-wise, frequency-wise, vibrational-wise. So you don't have to get up and stand and go out on the streets. It's what we're talking about is be that love. Be the peace. That's your frequency. That is powerful. That's how we are creators. That's what I feel.
Well, you know, there's that term, you are what you eat. You are what you think. Also, your intent. I do believe in miracles. I believe that we manifest negative and positive. I believe in the moment that we are caught up in either bliss or in hatred, that we create a frequency that travels on and it does not stop. It continues onward. There is no end to the frequencies that we create. They join with all other frequencies. The responsibility to me is on me, and what I manifest through my intent, through my words, through my actions, it's not as important to me that you act upon what I say. When I speak and it is something that you agree with, that's something that you, that it sits well in your heart, it's not because I said that, it's because it was already there in your heart. So I'm not manifesting that in you. I'm manifesting that frequency that is matching your frequency. So I see this catalyst that we have for change doesn't necessarily mean that we have to make sure that everybody hears what we have to say. We have to speak what is our intent and what is in our heart so that others can recognize our unison together in this. When I say something and you say, yes, I agree, that's not because you just heard me say it. It's because it is already there within you. You know, when people tell me stuff like, you're wise, you know, inside I always kind of like say to myself, I'm not any wiser than you, because if you think that I'm wise, it's because that you already had that wisdom to recognize it for what it was. Go ahead.
You know what? I don't have any problem with trying to tell you how wonderful of a person you are and how smart you are, because I recognize that you found it somewhere, and if it's in me as well, that's it, just icing on the cake. So I love hearing good things about you. I love it when people praise you.
Well, I want people to realize that I'm not, you know, and I get called out about this all the time, and I think it's just a misunderstanding, is that I don't think I'm that special.
Well,
I really don't.
I think y'all
I don't
are very
see
special.
I don't see myself as the do-all, be-all of anything. I see that I am part of this whole, and I see that we're all special.
Yep, you know, I agree. I agree. That's what I love, the humbleness in your heart. I love that between you and Barbara and all these people listening in here. You know, we all get it. I mean, we seriously get it. That song, Simple Man, by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I love that song. Listen to the lyrics. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I'm just saying, sometime on your own time, listen to the lyrics. I'm going to play an awesome song up out of here when we leave up out of the Knights of the Round Table today that Gary shared with me, and it says it all about what we've been talking about. I mean, it's just amazing. Music is powerful.
Yes. So I'm thinking still about ourselves as co-creators and what we're talking about with the frequencies. And so, how like attracts like, right? We've talked about that. The same frequency will align with identical frequency. Like attracts like, you know, is a either positive or negative. So when you have that group of people, sitting for 4 years together periodically, designated time and date to focus together on the same thing, the frequency of love and healing and harmony and balance and peace, that was a frequency, all right, that affected these cities, these major cities, through certain, shifts. So like attracts like, and it goes to the positive or the negative. So if you are a person who is spewing out harm and negativity, and there's a bunch of other people doing the same thing, those frequencies of the same energy, low frequency, I guess you could say, or harmful frequencies, are going to build together, okay? And that is an impact on the whole. And the same way with the others. If you're kind and loving and compassionate, and you're holding that frequency and you're planting that seed, and there's other people that are doing the same thing, those frequencies of like energy on that level of high energy of healing and peace, they're going to be drawn together. That's how that impacts. That's the power that we have. That is pretty extraordinary, if you think about it. That's like attracts like. So the frequency of love attracts the same frequency of love from others. So it builds sort of like that colony of love frequency, or the colony or the collective of negativity.
So that's where I want to hang out. I want to hang out with you.
Well, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to understand more about what we're dealing with in reference to seed planting and frequency and like attracts like, and what goes around comes around. You create your own reality. We manifest on a daily basis with our thoughts and words and emotions. This is what we're looking at, and that we all emanate a frequency consciously or unconsciously. So, and that's what we're being asked to be more observant and more, understanding about what frequency we are emanating. How are we participating, And I just want to say something about the Mother Earth, and what it feels like to be out there on the Mother, and I've spoken about this many times, and I know you guys have too, and I feel that there's where I receive healing. There's where I receive so much and so much love from the Mother Earth and the other beings that are out there, the spirits and so on. And I feel that we're all being asked to go back to that, to go back, step out on to the Mother and receive and give also, because when you go out there, you not only receive, something shifts. It's extraordinary. I've gone out on the land because I've been at times, I've been in the space of hopelessness or deep depression, and I find myself going out on the land and sitting there in that state of sorrow or depression, something invariably starts to shift. Something starts to happen, and I believe it's because we're out there on the Mother Earth, and all the ancestors are out there that love us so much. And in a moment, in a shift, something happens, and you come to realize the beauty there in front of you, and you begin to feel an uplifting. You begin to feel that love. And then, of course, when you're feeling that love, you in turn are loving back. you find yourself...
True.
Yeah.
Even in
I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's
perfect.
Even in my book of faith, it talks about God reaching down to the earth and pulling up part of the earth and forming man and woman. So,
yeah
I get it. So, Our creator didn't create any trash, only treasure. The trash came from somewhere else. It came from a place that isn't of God, as far as I'm concerned. the things that man has done to each other throughout history, you know, if you think back to the Garden of Eden or whatever, or what this world used to be when it was first here or whatever, I would give anything just to stand there on creation and see what this looked like when the painting was fresh, you know, when it very first came about. I could visualize the beauty. If you go out there and you look up semi-precious stones and you polish off all the dirt and everything from these stones and their beautiful colors, I can just only imagine how wonderful the water looked and how wonderful, you know, just walking down a beach with pebbles on it would have looked. It must have been quite literally heaven on earth. And over time, all that that, you know, age and stuff started covering everything up, and the farther we got away from creation, the worse things got, and we started tearing up the ground, and we started cutting down the trees, and you know, nature had to work overtime to try to keep up with the destruction that we put upon everything. And if we would have been good caretakers from the beginning to the present, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. We wouldn't be hearing stories of wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine, because this earth has all the medicine we need. It has all the life-giving water and food and materials necessary for housing and everything. We could live in such a wonderful, wonderful world. And I still think we can get there. Go ahead.
I still think that it's there. I mean, yeah, like Barb was talking, even with all of this destruction, disrespect of the mother, I can go out of my door and see wonder and beauty. I can watch my grandchildren in running around in nature, getting their feet in the dirt, and I can see the joy and the beauty in that. I can see, like right now, we're waiting for the kites to come in. Yeah. And I'm anticipating the joy of hearing them calling out to each other, of building their nest, of bringing life into the world. This, to me, I've never lost that. I always live in that, the joy of life. I have always seen it as just this wondrous, magical adventure, and it's still here. It's never left me. And I was born and raised in nature, the wildest of the wild. And I've taken that with me. And nature to me is purity. No matter where it's at, nature is that which is unadulterated, even though man has done his best to destroy it, even though man has done his best to take away that majesty of creation, it's still there. It still exists every single day. And I have a choice that I can live my life in regret of what has been taken, or I can live my life in joy that it hasn't been taken. You know, all of it hasn't been taken. And like Barb said, when she is lacking in that resolve of self, when she is in pain, when she is feeling less than, which is a terrible thing for any of us to feel, but she can go out there with that angst within her just roiling and boiling, and she can sit out on that land, and the mother will take that from you. The mother and all of her creation are there to heal that, and she does, and they do.
I agree.
And when you come back from that, you don't carry that angst back with you. Right. If you sit in your home, that doesn't happen.
That
you carry that angst. You go
that.
Work with it. Yeah.
You know, sis, thank you. And what I know that's happened for you, too, and I know has happened for Shaziz, and I feel that it's, yes, we've done a lot to mess things up. We sure have. But it's like you say, it's still there. The mother's heart is still beating. The mother's love is still there. And we just have to go out the door. And we have to participate. We have to go there to the mother. And she will help us. She will heal us. And all the beings out there, too. And I feel that they are waiting for us. I feel they're waiting for us to come back, to return to the way our ancestors were, who spent the time, their lives, on the mother in communication and relationship. And I remember the story I told that I got stuck in New Jersey in an industrial nightmare, and there was cement and tar all over the ground, and there was this little dandelion.
Yep.
Coming up from a little crack. I didn't even see the crack. I don't know how that little dandelion did that. But that's the mother beneath there, and she's still reaching out, you know.
It's fascinating that you mentioned that particular story, because I was thinking about mentioning it myself about what you saw. But I've been really watching a whole lot of, for the last year or so, I've been watching these restoration videos of, you know, old toys or things that people put together that over time got banged up and messed up. And they will take their hands and they will polish it back up, and they will make it look beautiful again. And the same thing applies with the land that we're standing on. We have a gift to be able to take these hands and our minds and our bodies and help nature do what nature does best and bring that beauty out. We have that power. If we're caretakers, if we look out there and we see, you know, the land is feeling sick or looking sick, you know, we can go out there and we can help clean it up. We have that power. You know, that's amazing. You want to think about somebody saying, well, you know, there ain't no such thing as a God or a creator or anything like that. You try to explain to me how it is that something as magnificent as the human body is capable of remembering things that they were never even taught in school, and being able to take that knowledge and work in harmony with the animals on the land. I got a wild turtle that used to stray. He used to take off every time he saw me, but now he comes up to me. He knows I'm gonna feed him, you know. And the heart of that turtle, I can feel it. I can honestly feel it when I'm sitting there as he's looking at me, you know. And the fact that I could stand out there, and these deer, they'll look right at me, but they won't take off running. And the rabbits and I'm talking to frogs. In society, most people would look at me like I was nuts. But I'm not going to apologize for talking to these wonderful beings, these wonderful creatures, because the energy that they put in me, while I'm sharing my love to them, it's better than any drug you can imagine. It's amazing that you can feel as nature, as the Mother Earth, like you're talking about, heals your body. Take your shoes off and stand in that cool grass for a while and tell me you don't feel better than standing in them flip-flops. Tell me feel like part of the world. It's amazing.
It is. It truly is. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that we are energetically connected to the earth, to the soil, that a lot of our healing is actually in that energetic connection, that frequency between the earth and us. And when we come into the civilized world, the first thing that we're told is we have to put shoes on.
Right.
You know, don't go out there without any shoes on. You might step on something. So what kind of shoes do we put on? We put on tennis shoes or like you said, the flops or something, which is an insulator.
Yeah.
And it keeps that energy from entering into us. It stops that flow. No wonder we have stepped away so far. When we live on concrete, when when we walk with rubber between us and nature, when we shield ourselves from the very healing frequencies of nature, because that's what nature is. Nature is a system, an organic system, and it creates an energy flow.
Yeah, nature didn't make the broken glass and the nails, man did.
Right.
Yeah, but sis, you're right, and now we're being told don't go out because you're going to get this, or you're going to get that, or that will happen, or, you know, there's a danger out there. Nature is dangerous. Nature, you know, it's like it's a whole, you know, repulse that natural part that we are part of. It's like we are one with nature. We are nature.
Yes, we are. And we need, it's imperative to our bodies and our souls and our spirits to energize, you know, to get that healing energy, to be in connection with nature. You know, a lot of people, you find that they have a lot of plants in their house and they love those plants. They truly do. They spend their time talking to them. They spend their time visiting them, taking care of them, nurturing them. It's the same difference, you know, communing with that energy flow. Nature is neither negative or positive. It is simply the energy of creation. And that is what we are a part of. That energy flows constantly in nature. It's never not there. The thunderstorms are part of that. You know, the wind is part of that. The tides, everything to do with nature has to do with the ebb and flow of that frequency of energy, that healing. Nature abhors a void. The reason being is because that's what this earth is. It's not inorganic. It is organic. We are organic. When we separate ourselves, if you want to plug your computer and you need to plug it into the energy outlet, but you don't go to the energy outlet, you just leave that plug on the floor. You're not getting that energy. The computer's not going to work. If you got a battery on it, it'll work for a little bit, but it's going to die out.
Yeah.
You have to plug it in to get that flow
of
energy.
You have to plug in. We have to plug in.
Exactly.
And, you know, the thing we know more and more also about is that nature is an intelligence. You know, there's an intelligence going on there. Well, what does that mean? I mean, you know, now there have been studies done about plants, that plants respond to us. That they sense things, that they sense, you know, when somebody's going to cut them or a match is going to burn them. I mean, these were tests that were done. So, and we know that the power of word, again, back to that, the power of word, like to say to a plant, I love you, I'm so grateful. Same thing to the water. We have ceremonies that change the molecular structure of corrupted frequencies of a source, of nature. And this is how we are related. These are real things.
You know, it's amazing. We basically came from the earth. Redempty typed in the chat room, back to dust again. And I'm always talking about how nature recycles everything, including us. So how we could not feel a connection, you know, that we came from the earth and we'll go back into the earth when it's all said and done. We're always going to be connected, whether we like it or not, you know. We all in some form, because, you know, even science says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So we have always been here. We have always been part of creation. We've always been part of nature. And we always will be. Go ahead, Patty. Sorry, I cut you off there.
No, I cut you off. It's quite all right, but I was just going to agree we are the earth, and our people, the tribal peoples, the indigenous peoples, which are all of us, but the consciousness of the indigenous peoples, when we say that we are all related and that our ancestors are on the ground that we walk. They are the soil. They are the grass. They are the trees. They are the hawk. Are, like Red said, we return to the earth and we are reborn as the grass, as the seed, as the tree, as the hawk. You know, our ancestors walk among us today.
It's amazing. Well, folks,
yes,
it's down that time again. Before we roll up out of here, I want y'all to stick around and listen to a song that Gary's, he tried to get us to play it last time around, and I did play it during the Mad Science Show yesterday, because pretty much everything we've been talking about all this time is pretty much compacted in this song. You know, I love the hearts of the people that are at People for People Radio, and the people that come there to be guests and participants, and the people that are on these shows. I just feel so humbled and overwhelmed with joy and blessings that I get to spend this time with each and every one of you. But I'd like you to stick around long enough to just to listen to this song, because words have meanings, and this is a pretty powerful song when you, if you actually listen to the lyrics of what's being said, it's amazing. You know, we've talked about the power of words during today's show, and I think we give so many wonderful examples, you know, both good and bad, of what words can accomplish. And I want that, if you ever come to Shaziz Radio and you're a guest and want to visit or want to be on the show or whatever, whichever way, that's just fine. But I hope to leave you with inspiration after each show. I hope to leave you with hope in your heart and love in your heart after each show. You know, I don't do this for fame or recognition. I don't have an ego to stroke. I just think that we together have the capability of solving the problems that the world says that we have. The world is kind of messed up, and we can all agree on that because we've all seen it. We've heard the arguments, we've seen the fights, we've heard the wars and the rumors of wars and about the plagues and the famine and the pestilence. But my book of faith said, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that's a tiny bit of faith. And so if that tiny bit of faith is as powerful as the words that comes after that mustard seed, that he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. You could speak to that mountain and that mountain would surely move. That's power. And the words coming out of your mouth are so incredibly powerful. So if you're going to do a radio show on this station or another station, honestly, look down inside yourself and think about those words before you put them out there. Because words, they can uplift a spirit or they can sink one down. And we want to spread a message. We want to spread a profound message of peace to the world. And so we want to be careful about how we say things or what we say, because we understand the fact that words are that powerful. I honestly believe in the dream, and I will not stop believing in that dream as long as I am me, you know, my personal individual. And I, earlier Patty was talking about, she's a humble lady, but she is an amazing lady. She is very special. So is Barbara. So are all these people out here. And I have no problem praising my brothers and sisters. I have no problem uplifting their spirit and allowing them to believe and to know that they're recognized for the wonderful creation that they are. The beauty that is the soul that is each and every one of these people. The fact that they take their time out of their busy lives and all the things that they have to accomplish to spend this time with me. You know, that makes me feel special. How did I get so lucky to have Barbara? How did I get so lucky to have Patty? How did I get so lucky to have People for People and Shaziz Radio? That's the question I ask myself every time you bless me with your presence, each and every one of you. So with that said, which one of you ladies want to go first?
I'll go first this time. I just want to say again, thank you, Shaziz, for bringing us together every Sunday to have these wonderful, awesome shows. I have always, always enjoyed these talks. And yes, Angel, I have to say, the chat today has been truly awesome. We're all here together. We're all finding our way. There's no wrongs or rights in this. And the only thing that we should be concerned with, the only thing that truly matters, is how we walk through this life, what we bring to the family. And if we bring gifts of love, of peace, of joy, then we have done a great work in that alone. And I just want everybody to also, I'm going to put a plug out for the Turtle and Crow Show Monday. We will have Lynn Cameron and Bernie McCready with us. You have been doing beautiful, wonderful things with hemp oil. And so please stay tuned for that. It'll be 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. UK time, our regular show time. And I hope to see you there. And above all, you know, this life is what we have, and it's what we make of it that's what it will be. So if we live our life in joy, then we will have a life of joy, no matter what comes our way. It's up to us to determine what life we live and by what rules. You know, if you want to live in joy, then you have to live in joy. It's really a choice. It always comes down to a choice, and it's always your choice, no one else's, as to how you move through this life. And if we can do it in joy and in love, with compassion and tolerance, then we have done a great work. And I thank you all. You're so beautiful. And thank you again, Shaziz and Sis. You know I love you. And we'll see you on the other side.
Well, thank you. I'm just listening to you guys, and I feel so honored to be here. And, you know, I have talked about this faith and hope that I have, that I've been blessed with inside of myself, that no matter what I know or what comes, what we read about or what we hear about or what we see going on, I have this beautiful faith and this hope inside of me, and I've been so grateful for that. And being here, Shaziz, you know, on your show, the Knights of the Round Table, and looking at the people here in the chat and their participation, and being with my sister Patty, gives me even more hope and more faith in the humans, in us people, in all of us. And, you know, I think, like Angeline said, you know, he's Angeline, I'm glad you're here with us, as I am with everyone. You know, he's saying he's sorry if his words infuriated or disrupted comfort, but he's here to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. So he means no harm, and none of us mean any harm, and that's a beautiful thing. And it's so good to be here with you all. And as I said, I have a great faith and hope in humanity, in our abilities, and I know that we can move through whatever it is, whatever the challenges are. I think we're all here to move through them together, and so I'm glad we're all together. And thank you. And yeah, tune in tomorrow and for our show coming up, Turtle and Crow, and we'll be happy to be the hosts of, you know, of our sisters over there across the pond, and see what they have to say, what's been going on with them. And I hope you all tune in. So I want to give everybody a thank you, a shout out, with much love, and Doksha, Philamaya, thank you.
Amazing. I'm just amazed. That's the only word I can use right now. I'm amazed. Folks, stay tuned for a minute. listening to a song passed over by a person that I feel like got a heart of gold. It's a really good message in this song. It's a song called Affirmation by Savage Garden. But actually, really listen to the words. It's pretty profound. So, with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If this show's inspired you in any little way that you believe that will be beneficial to somebody else, share this message. Send a podcast over to somebody. It'll be up as soon as I can get it uploaded right after the show. And there's many more there if you ever want to listen into them. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. And this song here is from my friend Gary. He's really awesome.
I believe the sun should never set upon an argument. I believe we place our happiness in other people's hands. I believe the junk food tastes so good because it's bad for you. I believe your parents did the best job they knew how to do. I believe that beauty magazines promote low self-esteem. I believe in love when I'm completely by.
Over there.
I'm 37.
What? I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that our quiet unseen able. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terror, and the Knights of the Round Table.